Did you know that God has a library of books? Well, it sounds strange, but stay with us for this question and answer program as our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, speaks about the books of God.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
We welcome you to the question and answer program with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, whose over 30 years of answers to the questions of his many listeners have been preserved for the spiritual growth and maturing of future generations. And this, of course, is a ministry of the Through the Bible Radio Network. Now, before we get to our questions, let me take a moment to thank you for your faithfulness in praying for this ministry. You know, we're so greatly encouraged by the many letters that we receive telling us that you pray for all of our producers using our international prayer guide. And if you don't have your own prayer guide, then we'd love to send you one. Give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can do that anytime and just leave a voicemail along with your name, address, and the call letters of this station. Again, you're asking for the International Prayer Guide. Now, today's question and answer program is a little unique in that Dr. McGee will only be dealing with one question. Through the years of doing this program, Dr. McGee saw a continuing pattern of reoccurring questions. Today's question was one of the most frequently asked, according to Dr. McGee at least. So, in order to put the question to rest and to share all that he knew on this topic, he decided to dedicate one whole program to the issue. The question is, when is our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Now, I want to talk, first of all, about this matter of the books that God has. We'll see the reference in a few minutes in Revelation 20, that it says the books were open. Well, that would indicate that there are probably many different kinds of books. In fact, it does make that clear, that there are many different kinds of books. And so I would like to go back and pick up the thread and see about this matter of being blotted out of a book, and what book is it that you can be blotted out of. I think it's very important to determine just what he's talking about. Now, the first reference that I'm turning to is in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, at verse 31. And I'm reading now, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now, the question at that time is, what book is he referring to? Now, first of all, let me say that in that day, the books were different than they are today. In fact, they've changed several times. I think that probably Moses was using tablets, cuneiform tablets, that is the same shape. And that is what he had. Later on, there were scrolls that they had. And it was not until comparatively recent times, as far as the history of the world is concerned, that we have a book the shape of the one that we have today and the one that I have before me just now. And I think it's well to keep that in mind. What do you mean by the book? And Moses is saying, you can blot me out of the book. Well, we have here the book of the law that God gave to Moses, and you have the book of the Acts of Solomon later on. And Job refers to the fact that his life was in a book, was written in God's book. And then we're going to see some other passages here in just a moment in the Old Testament that speak of the book. Now, therefore, there is a book of the law, there is a book of the Acts of Solomon. There are actually two different books. And Job said his life was written in a book. And when he mentioned his life, I don't think he meant the book of life that has to do with salvation. I think that his life story. I think the Lord has a biography, apparently, of all of us, and I judge from that. Now, what is Moses talking about here? Well, let me say that he could be referring to the book of salvation, the book of life, or he could be referring, he's given him the law now, the book of his life, because certainly Moses had every reason to believe that God would reward him for what he was to receive. And I have a feeling that Moses is saying, well, just blot me out. I just want to be put right down with these people. And then it would seem as if when God came back to him, that God is using that same thing. He says, whosoever is sin will I blot out. That would seem to me that there are two sides of the ledger, that one side, the sin, would cancel out the life of the individual. Now, whether that had to do with salvation or not, I think the Lamb's Book of Life, as we hear about it later on, is altogether different. So we can already widen this out to two different books. A book of the law, which I would say has to do with life. The Word of God gives life. And the book of the Acts of Solomon, that's his life story, is written there. And Job refers to that. Then let me make another suggestion to you, and that is the book of your creation. Because we're going to see that now in just a moment. In fact, I think I'll turn to it right now. In Psalm 69:28, David writes this, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Now, David here, apparently, is referring there to the book, not of life, but of the life story of each individual. Now, let me come to the other thing that we mentioned of non-existent. In Psalm 139:16, David says this, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, let me, and I'm not being facetious or ridiculous, or at least I'm not trying to be, when I say this, David would seem to indicate when you are born, God makes note of that. He makes sure that you have a pair of lungs and a liver and that sort of thing, and that you are being formed and that you now are a creation that has appeared in his universe. He takes note of that. And could Moses be referring to that book and just say, blot me out, as if I never existed? And only God could do that, by the way. Could blot a person out as if they never did exist. And apparently there is a book of creation. And that is a book that I think when you once get in that book, you'd never get out of it, because God never uncreates. Seems after he's brought something into existence, he lets it hang around for a while. And he can transfer a great deal of material today into energy. That is true. But it has done something in this universe. God never brings anything into existence but what it doesn't serve a purpose. But I make that suggestion to you today, that when we begin to talk now in a few moments about the book, what book are we talking about? All right, now let's follow that on through. I want to go to Daniel, the 12th chapter, the first verse. Let me read this. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. everyone that shall be found written in the book. Well, now, again, what book is he talking about here? Again, may I say to you that I am of the opinion that he's talking here about the book of life. But again, I don't want to be dogmatic about that. It could well be the book of the life of the individual. It could be the fact that he has done certain things or he's a gross sinner. That could be well here. And then another thing that we should add to this, we are probably going to be getting rid of a whole lot of our so-called books in the future and use a computer. And I'm sure that the Lord knew all about the computer when he started, and it may be all along that he never used a cuneiform tablet, he never used a scroll, and he never used a printed book like we have today. And it may be he's got something better than a computer in which he carries these records. So for us to pry around into God's books, that's sort of personal, you know. You can't just go into a company and look at their books. Certain institutions have to render a statement, but most companies, their books are rather private. And I think God would say, keep your nose out of this. This is my business. I'm running it. And for us to come along dogmatically and try to say, well, this means the book of life, or it means the book of Acts, it means the book in which we were created, I'm not sure that we can be as dogmatic as some people like to be about that. Now let me come to the final one I'll refer to in the Old Testament, and that's in Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now, I don't want to be dogmatic again, but I think the book here is the book of the acts of the lives of the individual. Because it's a book of remembrance. God says, I don't want to forget what these people have done. And so a book of remembrance was written. And therefore, I believe that refers to that. But again, I don't want to be dogmatic even at that point. Now, I want to go to Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12 that I referred to a while ago. And I read in Revelation 20, verse 11. I begin reading there and read two verses. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, not one, but books, plural, were open. And another book was open. Now, there were books, and then the book. And the book is the book of life, we're told here, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, the saved have already been redeemed. The second resurrection took place, and the redeemed of all ages now, regardless of your position on eschatology is concerned, at this point, surely you must admit all the dead have been raised that are saved. And they have been raised from the dead. Now, the lost are raised from the dead of all ages. And their works are recorded. And I'm of the opinion there are going to be several different kinds of books there. I think their good deeds are going to be in a book. And lost people, you know, do good works. Some of them give millions of dollars. And I think that'll be recorded in God's books. That'll be opened and that'll be fully noted. And then their evil works, and they've all got that too. But the way to blot out the evil works is to be in the Lamb's book of life, because the blood is the only thing that would cancel out the sin. And if their name's not in the Lamb's book of life, and it isn't because they're lost, why, they'll see that God is just and righteous in what he does. And so there apparently are quite a few books that he has there, and I haven't been able to look into them, so I'm not able to tell you the names of all those books, although I've mentioned, I think, at least three books. Now, let's come to Revelation 3, and this has been a long way around, but I'm getting around now to try to answer the question, when? And it has to do with Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, I personally believe that your name is put in the book of life that moment that you trust the Lord Jesus. Now, I've made another suggestion in my book on Revelation, and it is certainly a possibility that everyone is put in that book also as they're put in the book of creation, that they've been created, and something new is coming to the world. And this book of life, your name is put in it, and then there comes the time when if you do not accept Christ as your Savior, well, your name is blotted out of the book. May I say to you, I've always felt that that interpretation is a little shaky. Nevertheless, I do not discount it. Some very fine men hold that position, much better men than I am, I can tell you. And I would not ridicule that viewpoint at all. But my feeling is that the name is not going to be blotted out, even though they might have feared their name was going to be blotted out. He makes it very clear that he's not going to blot their name out. Now let me pass on to you my opinion. I believe that he's talking here when he says the book of life, they'll not blot their name out of the book of life, that this is the section that has to do with the life of the individual. And somebody says, well, how in the world can we know that? Well, I'm going first to go to 2 Corinthians 5:10, and let me read there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And who's we here, by the way? Well, we means Christian. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about believers who die in the Lord. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, apparently, there is this book that reveals whether your life has produced something, and then you are going to receive a reward. Now, Paul amplifies that even further. If you go over to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 11 through 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm beginning reading in verse 11. I want to tie this together. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now you can't do anything to work for your salvation. The foundation is already down, friend. Lord Jesus Christ is the rock on which we rest for our salvation. You can do nothing there. No other foundation can any man lay. You can put down nothing. Now, if any man build on the foundation, now you can build on the foundation. That's your life. And you could build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, it's quite obvious here that the day will declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire is going to test. And you have two different kinds of substances here. Gold, silver, and precious stones are actually enhanced by fire. The dross is drawn off of the gold and silver. Precious stones are hardened by fire, not destroyed. But wood, hay, and stubble are destroyed. And every man's work, we are told here, is to be tested. Now, if any man's work abide, which he hath built on, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I personally believe here that in the book of life, there is that section for your works, your acts. And that's what he's talking about. He says to this church in Sardis, over in Revelation 3, man, they were a failure. That's Protestantism. Protestantism is proven quite a failure in the world today. I mean, my, the grand things that the reformers thought would come to pass have just never come to pass. The Protestant church has lapsed into an apostasy that's as bad as any that it attempted to reform. And so the Reformation didn't quite do the job. But he says there to those of them that are in Sardis, and though their works are actually nothing to brag about, but he says, I'm not going to blot it out because you've gone through a great deal of testing. And I believe today that we're going to have a very healthy surprise when we get into the presence of the Lord Jesus and stand before that judgment seat of Christ. I think that we're going to see some unknown saint that probably we paid no attention to and was never asked to get up and give a testimony in some great meeting. That individual is going to be called before the Lord Jesus and amply rewarded, because down here by our yardstick, they didn't do very much, but he uses his yardstick, not ours. And some outstanding person that thinks he's going to get a great reward will be called up there, and believe me, friends, we're going to find out we're not going to get very much, you see. But he's not going to blot your name out because you made a failure of your life. And I believe that that is what he's talking about when you get this big picture from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I know this is a long ways around to get to an answer, but you can see now why I could not give a brief answer to it other than to just give a dogmatic statement and to not be able to say when, because I even now cannot say definitely. All that I'm saying is that you get in the Lamb's Book of Life the moment that you trust Christ as Savior. That is my viewpoint of it. And as I've already suggested, I could easily be wrong on that because these other interpretations are worthy of consideration. And I actually have espoused one other at another time. And I believe that when you accept Christ, you are put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, your works then are recorded on a separate page. And I think it's called a book. Now, there are those that are going to quibble about the book. May I say to you that, as I've tried to say, the book was a cuneiform tablet that Moses is talking about when he talked about a book. And the scrolls are what Malachi was talking about, and certainly what we have in the New Testament. But in our day, it's something else. But tomorrow, it may be the computer. And then on next week, maybe something we don't even know about today. So if you're going to think of just the Lord having a set of books up there that he pulls down, apparently he seems to have books, but how are you going to interpret it? And so I believe the Book of Life also records our life story. I think that he transfers into it the fact that we were created. I'm not sure, but what he puts on the creation book when we are born. He doesn't write our name in our Bible like it is in a family Bible, but he puts it in his book. Then when you're born again, that's put down there, and then your life story is written. Now, what is it that's blotted out of the Book of Life? It, I think, is the acts or the works of the individual.
Although we can't know when our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we can be reassured that our salvation can't be lost. If you'd like to know more about this assurance, then we suggest that you order a copy of Dr. McGee's booklet, How You Can Have the Assurance of Salvation, based on 1 John chapter 5. Dr. McGee provides three evidences in life by which we can be assured of our eternal salvation in Christ. Dr. McGee also has several other booklets dealing with the issue of salvation and the assurance of salvation. So to find out more, request our resource catalog or browse our online bookstore. Now, be sure to tune in to the Through the Bible radio program heard each weekday on this station. We're continuing our 5-year journey studying through the whole Word of God, book by book and chapter by chapter. To help you follow along in these studies, we make available Dr. McGee's notes and outlines. We also encourage you to get on our mailing list to receive them automatically as we approach each new study. To order a copy of today's broadcast on CD, any of Dr. McGee's booklets, a resource catalog, or the notes and outlines, contact one of our staff members. They can be reached by calling 1-800-652-4253, Monday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Remember that many resources by Dr. McGee are also available for purchase or as free downloads from our website at ttb.org. To make your request by mail, send your letter to Questions and Answers. For those in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Until the same time next week, we pray that God will answer all your questions and solve all your problems.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Through the Bible Radio Network.